sure that we look like the countries around the place. We used to see the dearest people in the world who are not dear to me or dear to them. And these are just also Sadeir, Sadeirs, and this too is a long time. But before that, we used to be in the special sense of the first time. But close to 50 years, there wasn't a time to be in the line. Spouse, Mary, and Ram. For me, time has this world. In this world, I'm able to inhale some of that, something like that. Spouse, and Shalai, and Mary, and Ram. Somehow, very, very deep in the sacred sweat, converge in this place. I don't understand it. I try to understand it. I wonder his greatness, your greatness, and what you do for Hashem's children, each one of you, each every one of you. And you stab these things every single moment, every single step of your day. So I'm standing through this huge party, which I just found out is going on for the next couple of years. But I did thank him. And that's what this is going to be about these next few minutes. Not thanking him for what he's doing, but thanking him for being in the world. Being such a good friend, throwing it away, and that. For intuiting and understanding the deepest life. All of the dreams that I have that I'm incapable of carrying out. Together with the other side, full community here. So, of course, as we mentioned before, the story begins. When Menachem began to tell stories, the words of Omar Bader, Sipai, and Maisa, to call me Shahi Yisrael Mohel, the very Shura, and Zohi. Along the way, Bader, he told the story. Whoever was able to hear this story couldn't help but put a longing to return to Hashem. The feelings of the third. In a few minutes, I'll mention a quote at the end of this. Sarah Shredish, in the Kavanah of Ari, there are a few words in Navi Yeshaya contained within them the entire secret of this time of the year. This time of year is called the time of the devil. Come there and find a way to the ocean, find a way to the midland. This whole world is very pretty. It's a very cold and foolish amid the when you come at the Shabbos, we doubt that Hashem is going to help us over the course of the week, we lose our way, over the course of the year, we lose our way. Rabbi Nachman in Torah Reis Vav speaks about the Pasuk in Tehillim to Isi Kisahoga. There's a down in the life, there's a way, there's a path that leads to your shrine, leads to Hashem as well. But somehow over time, we lose our way. All of life is out, we go to that path and find it that way back. So I think all of you know, all of you know, the fact that there are a lot of times you see on him, the Torah and the Siddur, all of you know that the Baltani gave a motion to the mouth of the Sodom, king, who one time of the year, at one time of the year, he leaves the palace. He goes out into the field. And the king is away from the palace. The king is in the field. The king is a derech. He's not in his home. So I'm going to be saying is that even the simplest people, everybody can come speak and come see. Makabel Kuma, the Seder Bani Office. Makabel Kuma, the Seder Bani Office. And the king is Makabel each and every two. Each and every one of his subjects, those who are more faithful, those who are more faculty close. It's the Kabbal Kulam to save up on the office. Umana, Honam, Sarkapais, the Kulam. And he shows a smiling face, the Kulam. To each and every one of us. What is the voida at this time? This is heaven. It's now voida. This time the king himself describes himself as being a there, away from the palace, amongst his people. Kind of a nice of young there. What is that right at this time? So the Altering Susilenu explains everybody knows Amila Daidi, the Daidi of the Haraya, the Sheshach, that just as a rose is a 13-petaled rose, so during this time of the year there's a tremendous disturbance and awakening of the Yudim Amida Serachim, but Hashem's love and compassion. All of our davening, all of our sleepers, all of our davening, from now until simple start. Stephen Moeber, the 13 Midas Harachim, we are alluded to in the Pasuk, Anila Daidi Bidaidi Li, Haraya Rosh Hashanah.
He's in the Shemesh Park at this time of the year, goes out to the fields, and he grazes, so to speak, but he goes, literally, he goes to see, to be, to go to be among the roses. And the Zohar Kodesh at the very beginning, the Zohar Kodesh tells us that the 13 petaled rose, the Yudki will need a Sarah. And that we are able to be more eager, you give him a seraphim. When Hashem looks at us, he sees those roses. When he hears us davening, it awakens within him that ahava, that love. And he's makabel each and every one of us to save upon the office. Upon him, the Christ will cool up. And he laughs with each and every one. Not to be afraid of Elul Hashashon. Not to be afraid of Hashashon Yom Kippur. To sing, to laugh. That becomes that sense of good. This Gemara in Thomas and Kovalev. Some of you are familiar with it, you heard it. As children. There's a mysterious father, Nochemish Gamzu. The Torah is talking about how did Nochemish Gamzu, how did he get such a name, Nochemish Gamzu? The Torah tells the story that how there was a mishlachas, there was a group that was sent to go to the Kesa to go to the Roman Emperor. And they brought a gift of a huge table, a box, that was filled with all kinds of abundant flavors, margolias, pearls, and precious gems, diamonds, to bring this as a gift to appease the emperor, the king. And the Gemara says that when they came to Lachsanya, while Lachsanya, the person over there, stole all of the contents of this box, of this chest, this table, and filled the table with offer with dirt. And when they were going to Derek and Nochum Ish Gamzu discovered this, he said, Gamzu the Torah, this is also good. And they came to the Kesar, they came over there to the emperor. And the gift, the offering was brought, it was opened up, it was a box filled with dirt. And obviously he was very angry. He was going to kill the Tzaddik and the other Jews that came with him. The Eliyahu was disguised as one of the people of the court. And Eliyahu is off the throne, whispered to the Kesar and the king, you know, this could be the dust and dirt of the father of the Jews of Avraham Avinu, could be that had this magical power that when you throw this dirt into the air, it becomes swords and arrows. And the Gemara says that there was a certain enemy that the king had, and this was tested, and they were able to defeat the enemy with this dirt from the box of both of his mouths. So the droshes of the Tzlach of the night of Yehuda, the night of Yehuda says that the neshama of the Jew comes into this world and is looking for diamonds and pearls to fill one's life, to fill one's existence, like arrows along the way. each one his way, her way, to bring that table. And if someone wants to bring that gift to the King of all kings, a life filled with diamonds and pearls, to be gathered along the way. But over time, they will be saints. What happens to us in life? We get worn down. We get hurt. We're disappointed, we're disillusioned. It's approaching the world of the Plishtim of the Palestinians, the ancient Plishtim. Sitmon Plishtim by Yamada Wafa, and our lives become filled with dirt. Dirt. And instead of collecting diamonds for the very elephant the Creator, instead of bringing him all of that matis, and our mitzvahs, and our learning, and our davening, and our rising time, instead, Sitmon Plishtim, the Plishti has a way of making everything stop. It's enough. Everything is worthless, nothing has meaning. Another view says that a person looks and he sees that the box of his life is filled with awful. Stam. Shum davar. And worse than shum davar. All kinds of things that were collected along the way that should never ever become part of what a Jew owns in his life, in her life. And we're ashamed of him like that. And we come before the King, all kings. And then Nadi Gita says there's a mystery that's called Shuva. Elul. And with this sight of Shuva, somehow, as you all know, the Gemara says in Yuma, that somehow it's possible to take all of the ugliness in our past, all of the offer, all the dirt, and to transform them into matching arrows. Tidanis Masla, Kizakias, our Veyrus, are able to become powerful weapons, mitzvahs, in our lives. But the Jew does tshuva mi ahav. To change all of that dirt into magical arrows, swords, to cut away the filth of this world, to cut away the ugliness, the despair, the sadness, the misery. Tshuva mi ahav. Tidanis Masla, Kizakias. This is a mushroom from the head of the Lubavitch, it's Lucy Galena. And here's what we begin to understand the meaning of the 13th of the prophets. What it means to be a Jew in the month of Elul, what it means to be part of this world that has, be part of that era. The Lubavitch said, emotionally, he's a Jew. Was able to somehow get a very, very remarkable, beautiful diamond. And he was afraid, he didn't tell anybody that he had this. And he would look at it and marvel at it and enjoy it. And he only shared the secret with his dearest friend. And the friend began to beg him, let him enjoy the diamond as well, to see it, to have it for an hour or two. He was afraid, he didn't want to give it to him, but so he gave it to him for a few minutes to go enjoy it, and look at this amazing diamond. And of course, you know what happened. When you have such a diamond, it's very hard to treat it properly. Sometimes happens between husband and wives. But sometimes it happens with our children. And Hashem sends us, we don't treat them, we don't handle them properly. So this Yid, this Jew, the friend, was so excited he grabbed it out something hard, some concrete, whatever. And it caused a terrible crack. And it reeks in the diamond. He didn't know what to do. What am I going to do? See, we're running through all the monks and all the women, all of the jewelers, all of the experts over there. You might ask me, what can I do? But what I did to this diamond, if I damaged this diamond, that could happen. So there's one who said, you know, the only thing you can do is to break it in half and to make two diamonds. Continue to cut along that width, and you can make two diamonds. But of course, it's not going to be the same to have two small diamonds. It's not the same thing. So there are Jews who think, you know, that doing tshuva, the Rav Kook writes a lot about this, there's a tshuva. The Jews who think that in order to do tshuva, the Rav Kook wants us to break ourselves into different pieces. The Jews who think that the tshuva means to get rid of everything that I was and wherever I am, to change my identity as a person, to become somebody you are not, to break yourself in pieces, to tear yourself apart. The Russian wants us to be ourselves. It's a terrible crap, it's a terrible scratch of crap in the diamond. So Kundalami said the firemen, this year, finds itself. The tzaddik looks at this diamond and he sees this crease, this terrible scratch, this scar. And the tzaddik says, "Chod ace of you. I have an ace of you. Take this scratch, this scar, and draw with other scratches. Draw the image of a rose, engrave the image of a shaman of a rose into the diamond. And in that way, it will be more beautiful than ever before. You know, heaven, the Japanese have a certain type of art. It's called kintsugi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly. This type of art, it's very ancient. Seems to have started in the 14th or 15th century. When Americans have something that breaks, like some pottery or some pretty thing that breaks, Americans throw it out. So how? What are you going to do? It's broken. Especially if it's some crack into many pieces, what are you going to do? He throw it out. There's a melacha that they have, it's called the art of golden repair. Some call it the art of precious scars. What do they do? This melacha of kintsugi, what they do is this special bali melacha, and they take gold or silver, they align their pieces, and in between the pieces they fill with gold or silver. My wife showed me, I asked her if she could find this on the computer. She showed me some pictures of this type of art. Absolutely stunning. The roses are made in the broken pieces, from the broken pieces. The pieces aren't thrown out. The shattered kalim, the breaking, the offer, the dirt, all that happened to us Baderach along the way, each one of us, the side of tshuva, Vanila Doidi, the Doidi Haraya of Shaishan, is that the greatest Nachasura that the Boyer has is for us to be ourselves. But in that world of ourselves, to find ways with the gold and silver, with the copper, with the bronze, that we are able to find in our lives to somehow put the pieces together. The greatest Nakasura, the most beautiful work of art that the Vaishnavam has is Davke from those Tibokhana Kalim, the broken Kalim of the last generation before Mashiach comes. Because never has there been a time that Jews have such broken hearts like Yah. The son of Sibrochenka, and the Baron, the creator of all worlds, put the entire world with such a shattering of Shmias HaKayim. So when it comes to the time of hell, it's the nature of a Jew, each and every one of us, it's the nature of a Jew to take a look inside and to see how am I, where am I, Baderach? Where am I on this journey? During the year, we don't look so carefully. So during the year, we can make believe that everything is whole, nothing is broken, everything is fine, everything is good. But then it comes to Elul. So the Amshe de Soda is especially simple Jews with simple colors love more than anyone. The most honest Jews in the world don't lose themselves in Gaia de Ignatius. It often happens with the bigger scholars and rich people. Not get people like us, the Amshe de Soda is the ones who are out in the fields, who honestly take a look. It comes to Elul. Let me see that it's not all the diamonds and the pearls that are filling the boxes of our lives. But the sight of Shuva Mehava is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that a person is honest and is able to look at that box that's still the offer of the broken kalim. And instead of Chalila descending into the world of Asas or Yayish, he's able to work in this malacha of Kesugi, making oneself even greater, of turning the dirt into arrows and spears and into swords. Here in this place, all that Hashem Baruch asks of each and every one of you, and what's amazing is that the people who are running this place only ask for you to be who you are, and to see that Hashem Baruch in the most remarkable way has given each and every one of you such kindness, such talents, such gold, such silver. But you have to know that it's not just about putting the lines together of the tzaddik and the tzadkonius that you're entrusted to help during the summer. But through that, you yourselves are creating magnificent works of art in your own life. You're going to see Image Hashem in your marriages. But these days, or these weeks and months have done for you, those who have been here more than once over the years. Sani will go to the Stubarishal has the greatest and deepest Nakasura. And he goes out into the fields, it's full of your pasta. He goes out to the fields, and he sees the Amshe de Soda is simple and sweet just like us. Who are humble and honest enough to admit that there are many, many cracks, there are charisma. But the Baruch Hu promised us that if we believe in Him and are honest, and we want to be better. Because the word Shoyishana means, as this one tells us, it's from a word of Shoyah, Lishtanos, Lishtanot means I want to change. Ehayah. Aleph K Yud Hey is the name of Tshuva. Azam Maharid, I want to become, I want to be better. In other words, Ayid, a Tzadik, a Goyim, who came from my father, also my father's hometown. It's a place called Umta. And there was a big person who came from that place, and his name is Rav Nasha Klein. They had sat across the road. It's a big person, Rav Nasha Klein. He's actually younger than my father. They were the same sheep. And whereas my father was in a place called Matthaus, Nasha Klein ended up in Dachau, and in Buchenwald. And Rav Nasha Klein once told me, how was it that he was able to somehow make it through that time? He rolled up his sleeve and he showed the cover, his numbers. And he explained how his numbers somehow came to the gematria, whether it was a mystical cotton or not, how, what, and what way did it come out to the gematria of Aleph Hey Yud Hey. I will be. And Hashem says, I will be with all those who say, I will be. With all those who don't lose hope. With all those who believe they can put this broken thing back together. Not somebody different. The pieces themselves. And in the golden repair. Precious scars. And this Talik had his precious scars, the numbers that they're showing that the Germans in Akshamon engraved in those tattoos, the tattoo on his arm. And from that tattoo, he was able to see the letters Aleph Hey Yud Hey. And he said, I will be. I will still be. Hashem is with any Jew who still says, after all he's gone through in life, I want to be. I will be. That person is one of Hashem's roses. That's a Sheshah. And he said, I want to be better. And he achol Hishtanah. And he can't be. I can be. Here's where we come to the end of the journey. It's the end of the story of Badar. What's going to be with us? What's going to be with us? The king comes out, and he's smiling. He's the kabbal as cool over the Seder of one God. Umara, Ponim Sodhakais, he's laughing. The king is laughing with all of his roses in the field. What's going to be the end? What happened to the Basmallah? We all know the story. You're not going to get an autographed copy unless you know the story. What happens? The Basmala, the lost princess, is the story of who we are. The lost princess. As I began to be celebrated, that was Madara. What's the end? This is a great celebration. I'm excited to see you. So he's the same as everybody. They're living something in Bahasha. It's not true. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And he's a very funny guy, his friend of mine. And the Stalin Rebbe, he doesn't laugh much. He's very serious. Very good, beautiful, very happy time. And this friend of mine has a way of making Jews laugh. And I was in Mother Rabbit first, I spent some time talking with him, and I came out, and my friend was in there with him. And from that home, we heard the song, and we laughed. And all the scene, we looked outside, we looked at the scene, everyone just started laughing, it was so excited, it was so excited. Yeah, the song, and we laughed, never had laughed. And when my friend came out, and now, so cool to see him jump on him. He said, what did you say to that? That you made him laugh. So he said, what did I say? I told the truth. But what did you tell him? The Rabbi asked me, why are you here? So I told the Rabbi, this is my friend, said, I told the Rabbi that I'm here with my friend Weinberg. I don't know what I'm doing here, but I came with Weinberg. So, why did you come here?
She said, because the whole thing, Margaret was helping me to dead study. I can see a living Saudi. So I have to be to see, I want to see a living Saudi. So that's why I asked me. I don't know, but that would be a shock to me. Sadly, this site by 2 weeks a year ago. So Yaakov Meshach said, there was a Eid, he went to terrible, terrible Saras, insane Saras, and he came to Yerushalayim. He said he was more of a modern person by the way he was dressed, wasn't he a child at all. And he came to Rabbi Yaakov Meir, and Rabbi Yaakov Meshach asked him, after hearing about his life, he asked him, How did you last? So he said, I'll pay the truth, Rebbe. What kept me, this person was not a rest of the apostle. He said, what kept me alive and brought me to this day. That I'm able to see Yeshua from all those sorrows was the end of the story of the lost prince. What happened to the lost princess? What happened to the lost princess? She was in the palace of Blake Toyer, in that terrible place. The place is filled with awful dirt. The place of shattered, broken. Hey, what happened to the lost princess? To the very end of the story, it just says this. How he got her out? After the whole night with all the sibuchim, which if you know the story, all of the twists and turns of the story, the Shem Malchus it says at the end, the Eish Shosia, Lo Shem. How he got her out, he didn't tell. Uba Soy for Eishia, some Soy, and arise him. Some Soy for arise him. The Eish Shosia, Lo Shem, Uba Soy for Eishia means, how come Rabbi Nachman didn't say, how did Sheikh Lamabos got the princess out of the palace of Nobud? Out of that place? How come Rabbi Nachman doesn't end with everybody look happily ever after? It just says, the story right here. How he got her out, he didn't say. So this Jew says, Rabbi Nachman, chapter. What I learned from the end of the story is, that the Baruch Shalom, the Baruch is Matzmiach Yeshuais, that I don't see a way, when I'm Baderach, when I'm on my journey, I don't see how it's possible. How am I going to end up standing in front of the king, with the king smiling, with the king laughing? How am I going to be able to get through all of this? If I would tell you just the last 3 days, as far as I've been hearing from different Jews, in the conversations that I'm having with people. And this person said, I didn't know how am I going to go, but the Baruch Shem was Matzmiach Yeshuais. And how am I going to get there? What's going to be the end? How am I going to get to the end of the derech and end up in Hashem's arms with him laughing together with me? Lo Sipper. I don't know. But in the end, I got out. In the end, he took me out. I was rescued. As long as I'm one of his shayshan, as long as I believe that there's a happy ending to the story, we might not see it in this world, when, what, but as long as I believe that the Melech Malchim is waiting for me, Kulam is saved upon him, upon himself. So it's error for Ishmael to say, now gathering together with each one of you, we can start saying, Lord, let's show you this. Es panecha Hashem ha-rakesh. Rabbi Shalom, we want to see your face. We want to see your smiling face. We want to see with our eyes that you're proud of us. We want to see with our eyes that you're admiring the works of art that we made with the precious scars, with the golden repair, with the kintsugi of our lives. Al tasta panachim imen. Al tasta panachim imen. Don't hide your face from me anymore. Because it's hard for me to continue along this derech, this path, this journey. I'm trying to imagine your smiling face, but sometimes it seems to me that you're not. I beg of you, I'll toss that come after me then. Hashem, don't hide your smiling face. Hashem is supposed to help each and every one of us. I'm so sorry, I feel so warm. I apologize to each and every one of you. Thanks, thanks. In the bottom of my heart, I apologize. So my wife, already a half hour ago, would have been saying to me, I feel bad. I'm so sorry. And I told you, I missed. There's much more to talk about. But that's the tefillah that got there. But somehow Hashem has brought us together, like Rabbi said, and somehow these are Yahweh brothers. That we're in this journey together. Because it's not the first time you and I have been in the world, we've been here before. I mean, all from the Shai, all from the Sadiqim, I meet him, then we travel together through all of those lives, somehow we've been traveling together. And this journey seems to be winding down. The journey back to Yerushalayim. We should be zeichet to see Hashem's face. We should be zeichet to see Pnei Mashiach again. We should be zeichet to see the Yerach HaSpuchas Pnei Hashem wearing Yerushalayim, the face of Hashem Yerushalayim, the face of the Kruvim, laughing and smiling at each other. And on that day, Bez Hashem, Each one of our lives will be held up on display as that kintsugi work of Tavshin Be'al, the story of our lives, the beauty of our lives, which is certainly going to be together on that day. Bless my readers and hear me now. Amen.